Now you're a full-time nerd, baby, all the way. You know, gain an extra 50 pounds pounding away those snacks. No exercise for you. It's just sitting around playing games, watching TV. Milk chugs, more like milk chugs than milk duds. How do they call them milk duds when everyone is a winner? They're not. There's not. I've yet to find an actual dud.
Hello, welcome to Carnivore Personnel. I'm Jacques. We're starting early.
Hello, and this is a beef. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Biff. Thank you for joining us. You know, hey, Biff. How can women scare gynecologists?
I don't know. How can women scare the gynecologist?
Becoming ventriloquist.
Ooh, that's a tough word for you to say.
Really,
I have an accent, and I can say ventriloquist.
This is an easier one for me.
I doubt
what? Biff, what do the existence of boobs prove?
Ooh, mon ami, what do the existence of the boobs prove?
Men can focus on two things at once.
Hi-yo!
Hello.
You are correct, sir.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to Scarful Personnel. Joe, we had a...
Who is Joe? This is Beef.
Biff, we had, as you were just saying, a amazing run of guests, and going to make a little bit of a Carnival Personnel podcast announcement that it has been decided that for the next month or so, we are going to go back to dropping two podcasts a week. We've just had so many great sideshow guests that it's almost a shame to have to wait a month to have the guests we just talked to, Angelica, I'm going to say their name wrong.
Please do.
Skinora.
Hey!
I got it right. Skinora.
Nice. First try.
She was the co-winner of this year's Boston Comedy Festival. She's from Toronto and is a delight and hysterical. Yesterday, the three of us talked to a writer of the definitive historical accounting from day one, the history of college radio. Not just the great bands and all that, but how college radio came to be. It's very technical, it's very historical, and then it's also talks about the bands that just redefined, you know, my will to live in the 80s and early 90s. Anyways, the name of the book is Live from the Underground. The writer is Catherine Rye Jewell. And yeah, we also, you know, just last week we had, you know, Dave Radigan. We've had so many great guests that instead of every other week, and we have friends that I've got to know over like the last year in comedy and stuff like that, who are like, oh yeah, love to come on your crappy little podcast. So for probably the next month or so, we're going to go back to dropping sideshows on Thursday.
Because I like to have production meetings on air.
We'll table this, and we'll get right to the important thing. Joe's son was just in a fantastic high school play. Why don't you talk a little? Why don't you do a little victory lap about his role and what the play was, and how great his hair looked on the photos on Facebook?
Sure, he is a senior, and this is my younger son, Rowan, and he was in the cast of 12 Angry People, or it was 12 Angry Men, but it took place in the 90s, the thing said, but it didn't. They had clear 50s. They didn't do anything to change the script. I think they swapped Khrushchev for, I mean, they put in Gorbachev instead of Khrushchev, kind of thing. You know, like, hey, we're really bringing this up to modern day, relatability, because people in the audience grew up in the 80s. They know the 80s. They don't know the 50s anymore because we forget about the past. Anyway, 12 Angry Men, he played juror number 12. They aged up his hair a little bit. They kind of gave him some gray kind of streaks on the side, whatever. He was great. He had to put on the sort of like salesman act affect to his delivery, very fast talking. Opposite of me, I am very slow, and I put people to sleep when I talk, especially myself. That's why there are long pauses in my speech, because I don't know how to talk. But he was great, and it was 12 Angry Men, and it was a high school production. And what else do you want me to say about it?
No, that's great. I mean, I got to chat with him yesterday about it at your humble abode before we went on another Carnival personnel field trip together.
That's right. We took the arduous journey. Do we go? How did we take? Do we take a biplane there? I forget how did we get to half a mile from my house? Maybe a quarter mile. I might be, being exaggerated. No, it's about a half a mile. It was about a half a mile, like a 5-minute drive from my house to the like Sons of Italy.
Wannabe. It wasn't even technically a Sons of Italy.
Yeah, it was called the Alozia Function Hall in Arlington, Massachusetts. And to further find out where in the world does Joe live, you can kind of do the math now. Hey, a quarter mile from the Alozia, or half a mile, it's in that radius, just eventually
It was kind of the Spirit Airlines of function halls, no frills,
right, almost no parking either. But you're right, it was
And you've got to navigate a trench to walk to it.
you almost rolled your ankle leaving that establishment. I mean, glad we stayed late to say hi to Tony V and Dave Ratigan, who we saw. Also, Dave Lamb was the comedian hosting. He was great. It was all a good time. The beer was piss water. I'm sorry. If you're gonna serve beer and you're gonna, here's Joe's review of the Alozia Function Hall that particular Saturday. The beer was not good. You know what? Here's a tip. Don't take the bridge the beer directly out of the trunk of the car immediately before serving it. Maybe get it, chill it to a sort of a serving temperature, a 40 something degrees. It's also beers traditionally tend to have a head on it. if you if the beer if my piss looks frothier than the beer, that is a problem. Not recommended, but you know what? At least it was expensive. And
But the comedy was great, and
yes.
our last two Sideshow guests is the legendary recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Boston Comedy Festival, Mr. Tony V, and last week's guest, who was just that was so much fun. Last week's podcast, Dave Ragone, Radican is
Dave
just
Bradigan.
it was just hysterical on podcast. He was I've done he's also a show producer. I've done three or four shows for him, but he's been headlining someplace else, and he books these other shows. But so this is the first time I got to see a full set of his
But enough about the
comedy.
comics. Back to the beer. Now, if you're really gonna charge those prices,
But
I mean, I'm sorry. And at least they didn't, where there's no food either. I got a nice
yeah.
email.
You got like a
I got
half
an email the
hour.
morning, like the morning of, like, oh, by the way, the kitchen will be closed, so no food will be served. But then when we got there was a stack of like six pizza boxes that I don't know if it was a community pizza. They were all like, it was a function hall, so like there were just these round tables with about like eight folding chairs around each one. They pretty good sized wooden folding or wooden Tables. What the fuck, Joe? Of course they're made of wood. Good Lord. You over-explain every goddamn thing. Even when you fuck up, you over-explain the fucking up. Just stop talking. Over.
I'm going to say the median age was 60. Like, we were on the young side of the crowd, I think.
Yeah, we're the only one that got the OnlyFans reference.
That's because you're younger and I'm a pervert. So that...
And you're on my OnlyFans, so you know, thanks for that.
You know what? You can blame me or your fantastic feet. Like, who's really the bad guy here?
Those aren't feet.
So it was. It was. It's always fun. And, you know, Joe and I, everybody suffers from imposter syndrome on some level. You know, there are some times when I'm hanging out with, you know, certain comics, I'll be like, I shouldn't be sitting at this table with these people who are really funny and professional and talking to me like I'm a peer. I'm going to find an excuse to go wait in my car. And it's funny because it's like, you know, go ahead and explain your when Tony saw you and you guys said hello.
Yeah, we shook hands and we'd actually seen each other like 2 weeks ago and he'd been on the podcast. So, he, you know, I've introduced myself to him about twice already. Maybe also, no, and then I saw him at the venue, like for his, at the City Winery thing. So like three times. I've met Tony Vree at this point since last Saturday, three times.
And the last like 4 weeks.
Right, right. Yeah, and he's not a confused man. You know, right. He has a memory. He's probably good with names and people to get to where he is. And I go, you know, he goes, hey, how's it going? And I go, yeah, hi, it's Joe. And he goes, I know who you are. It's like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm just reminding you that, because sometimes I forget who I am. And then also, I wasn't sure what your name was. I just throw out names. I just say, Joe? And then I hopefully land on the correct name. But yeah,
it was hysterical.
I don't have imposter syndrome. I am an imposter. I'm it's not a syndrome. It's been peer reviewed and certified. I do not belong.
And then afterwards, you know, it was just really nice. We just hung out and talked with Dave and Tony for a little bit. That was fun. After somebody from the audience came up and did the classic, did Tony's bit for Tony and then say, remember when you did that 20 minutes ago?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, Tony's a very popular guy. So like he's drawing the crowd, you know, there he's drawing the crowds. He's shaking hands. He's kissing babies. He's doing all that.
No. And it's funny because when I told Jim McHugh, I'll help with the festival. And then the Tony thing ended up being on Saturday. And I had a thing for Radigan. I told Dave, hey, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to do this thing. It's, you know, and he had again, no worries. So it was nice to, for Joe, who realized like the next day, it's like, oh, both Tony and Dave are in my neighborhood next week. But the venue doesn't have a website. It's a new apparatus, Boston Funny, but their website on the flyer that says bostonfunny.com doesn't work, you know, because they can't make the website work. So to get tickets, you got to go through a third party type thing.
Right. I think I saw a .ru at the end of that, which a little suspicious there.
but it was nice. And then when the guy, is it Harry? Henry, who's running it?
No, it was Harry. Harry! Yeah, Harry!
My brother Harry, the old son. But he was like, hey, hi, okay, thanks for coming. Hey, how do you think I should advertise in Arlington? And Joe and I are like, what?
Right. I'm like, do we look like consultants? Oh, clearly we're the classiest people dressed here. We're both wearing ratty sweatshirts. You know, I at least put on jeans. You know, at least I really spiffed it up that evening. So it was.
I was wearing jorts.
Right. Rocking jorts, I should say. It was, but you know what? I don't want to make this a name drop fest. I know some people in the audience don't like it when we name drop. It's a little, you know, it's a little self-indulgent. I don't want to, you know, keep on bragging about us hobnobbing with celebs. No, I mean, what celebs.
De Niro has told you so many times, look, when you're over at Pesci's house, the last thing right. He wants to do is hear you, oh, I hung out with Jay Leno stories, because it just drives Tom Hanks out the door.
Right. And, you know, Marty Scorsese was saying the same thing to me. He said, you know, Steve, you know, and then Lorne Michaels came in and said, you know, this bit isn't going anywhere. You should probably
Not do anymore. Bits. Nobody likes your impersonations. They don't sound like people. They're you talk like people, but you don't sound like people. That's not the same thing. Jim Carrey sounds like people. You talk like people. Yeah, just
That said, last Saturday was a fun show. I got to, again, for the kindness of Mike Katrobis, he and Bjork had, Steve Bjork, had a show 4.1 miles from the house. And I timed it. It's like, because it's right near my kid's school. It's like 7 minutes and 38 seconds. They couldn't perform. It wouldn't be easier for me to get to a show if they did it in my living room. So... And so
I almost asked Tony to come back to the house and watch TV with us. It's like, it's only going to take an extra, what, half hour out of your night?
You know? Yeah. And we watched, we'll get into what we watched.
Yeah, whatever.
But no, and it was a fun night. And it was one of those, this is what working comics do. It was at a place called the Tingsboro Sportsman's Club. My kids
a lodge.
A lodge. You know, I did make a joke to a couple of the comics, it was a really fantastic night. The four people who were on the bill, Mike Katrobis, Steve Bjork, Pat Collins, and J.J. Jones, are all headliners in New England. And so this was I had all intentions of just going and laughing for a couple hours. And then Mike, who I've been working with a lot, like, you know, last few weeks, said, hey, you want to go up and do five? And I had him pick out which bit I was going to do, because he's not been going over the material as much as how I say them. He's like, yeah, the writing's pretty okay. It's just you that sucks. So we got you to be less you. And I
got to get someone to play a better you.
No, that is one of my favorite stories of all time. But I did reference a place of being the Water Buffalo Lodge, because the median age was over 50. People got it. Somebody ended up yelling Yabba Dabba Doo, got a huge laugh. And so it was a fun night. And again, after the show, you know, here's Steve saying, hey, this was really good. X, Y, and Z. Like, he's like, can I give you advice? Because he has in the past, which I've taken, which made me a lot better. And I assured him, yes, any and all advice that you're willing to give me, I will gleefully take. And he says, you know, hey, you were reaching out for the mic and you're kind of holding the mic stand a little nervously. And I said, that's because I was reaching out and holding the mic stand nervously. But that's the thing. It's when Mike 6 months ago said, hey, here's the trick. Here's the key. Go to shows. See how the people who do this 3 or 4 times a week do it. Watch them, you know, work a joke, you know, over the course of a couple months. Watch how they interact with crowds. Watch how when a bit doesn't work, they make it not working into the bit, you know, type thing. I'm just spoiled that there's so much great shows around. I get to work with so many people. Mike is putting me up at Navigation Brewery the last Sunday of the month with Christine Hurley, who I'd probably be paying $25 to go see that show. Because again, it's 10 minutes from the house. Why wouldn't I? And so that's the best thing. I get to perform with somebody like that. You know the room's going to be packed too, and I don't have to pay $25 to be there. So
win-win.
Right. So that's, you know, as far as that goes. And again, the working with Mike, I now have a couple other friends, Anthony and Wayne from Open Mike Payne, who started working with them. And I've told them beforehand, it's like, it's awful. It is awful because you have homework and Mike starts living in your head. Like you talk with him for an hour one-on-one, you go over a specific bit or a couple bits, and then the rest of your week as you're rewriting it or rehearsing it, you literally feel like, as you said, the Force Ghost presence of Mike just standing there kind of like,
Say, write the punchline, Jacques. Write the punchline.
And it is. It's a step. It's a big step back, so that you can take the 2 steps forward, like huge steps. And already, just, you know, one of the interesting things. I know I'm going way inside baseball. Like, so there's a 4.5 minute bit that's 2 pages written out. So Mike's been really good about, okay, this is great if you're a storyteller on The Moth. Don't change a thing. If you're going to tell a story on an NPR storytelling show, this is perfect. If you're going to tell it at a comedy club, cut out a lot of it. He doesn't say, lose this. But it's like, look, you got three lines before you get to the setup to the punchline. Do you need those three lines? But then the big thing is like helping me, as you know, Joe, more than anybody, slow the fuck down.
Yes.
Take your time.
Right.
If by accident somebody thinks one of your little stories is worthy of a laugh.
Hold for laughter. Yeah.
Now, is that a new concept in comedy?
I think it just sort of came up out during the pandemic. I think a lot of people were not holding for laughter prior to then. And it's like, you know, because of the delay.
Right.
Now they're like, hey, wait a minute. If we just let the laughter roll out, A, it eats up time. B, you're soaking it in. You're kind of letting the joke ruminate, you know?
And so Mike's like, yeah. So this 4-minute bit, you're going to cut out 25-30% of the words, but it might even be a minute longer because, you know, here you're rushing this. It's like, and you know, a lot of the jokes that you write me are these time release capsules. You know what I mean? Where if you drink a cold beer and you put it to your lips, you instantly feel the cold beer.
If not the Alosia.
Right into the propeller. but you know, if you're a pill popper, which neither one of us have ever been, those take a little while to kick in.
Right.
So,
right.
So
like this gummy isn't working. Right. Let me have two more. Uh-oh.
You know, I can smell colors now. You know. But that's the thing. And so, you know, that was Saturday that I went up. I taped it. And then I sent it to Mike, you know, so we could, like, break it down. And there was two really blatant times where it was a 4-second laugh, 2 seconds in, I'm starting the next bit. And then there was a couple times when it was like, the laugh's almost done. But I start another bit, and at a show like this where it's a round tables things and people might be with their friends, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, you know how people joke at a comedy stuff where they hear, and it's like, yeah. Why am I rushing to get to the next bit versus enjoy the few laughs you're going to get, moron? I might be paraphrasing what Mike said.
You might be paraphrasing what I'm saying all the time.
Yeah, you know, well, and it's funny because so much of it is like, yeah. It's just repetition. And the hardest thing about the you know, these working with Mike, it's one-on-one. It's like you're reading your presentation in front of the professor, and that's it. Like, there's nothing. And he's heard this bit 6 times in the last 3 weeks. So you're not going to get the right fake laugh.
Well, that's like when you tell me your jokes over and over, and sometimes I don't laugh on the phone. Like, it's not, and then you have to, like, I like when you tell your jokes, and it's like you're telling a story about you telling the joke that I've heard 18 times before. And then when you're finished with a joke, you always say, and then people laugh, and there's a laugh. You know, like you're always you're filling the air. That it was just the silence, you know. Sometimes, hey, listen. You know, I'm a jaded person, you know,
yeah, but
only I can be funny. All right?
But I don't want that little story to eclipse everything else we're talking about.
Yes.
You like that? You see what I did?
Yeah.
How do you, besides staring up at the sun without protective lenses on, how do you spend your eclipse, Joe?
I stared at the sun with protective glasses with my family on my back porch.
Nice.
We had a nice clear shot of the sun. It was up there. It was a rare clear day in Boston. We had like 90% totality in our area, right? Something like that. Where you'll basically at its peak, like at 3:30 in the afternoon, when most of the sun was covered by the moon, you saw like maybe like a sliver of the sun. And it was cool. You know, it was cool looking. I mean, I've seen the eclipse in 2017, but it was cloudy that day in our area, so it wasn't as impactful. Here it was like, okay, great, you know, it was nice. And it was also nice to see like other people outside, and it was a nice day, like just
it was gorgeous, you
know, top it off, it was a nice day. But although my son was coming back to school from in a school bus on the on when the eclipse was happening, and he was late. And you know, we text him. He's like, "What's going on?" And he goes, "Well, we're stopped by this park because so many people stopped to watch the eclipse at this park that they parked too close to the curb or the corner, and the bus clipped one of the cars and scratched it. So they had to stop. You know, it wasn't like a major thing, but they had to, like, you know, stop and wait and maybe exchange papers or whatever. But they also had to, like, figure out how to get out of there, you know, like how to move, because
it's hard to hit and run in a bus.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, unless you're playing like a video game, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto, you know, unfortunately with kids in the back, you can't do that. But
you need all of them to keep their mouth shut.
That's right. We got to get the story straight. But he can't, you know, he was home in time for the eclipse and it was fine. It was a nice little thing. What about you? How did you spend the eclipse?
I spent the eclipse being a little like annoyed because I really wanted to drive up. I wanted to take the boys out of school and then just drive, like, you know, early
you
in the morning.
You settled for nothing less than totality, like a complete 100%, you know.
Yeah, my dad and one of my nephews went up, you know, to Vermont and stuff like that. It's like, I really should have. And management was like, no, they've missed a lot of school. The little guys missed like almost a month of school. No, they can do a half day. But I'm like, what's the fucking difference?
Why go to school at all? Honestly,
100%. You know? Look, hey, I didn't go to school. I turned out. Anyways, so we take we take the half day, and then we meet her at work, and it, you know, she works out in Concord, and it's a really nice space. It was really great. They have a huge, huge yard. But then, like, halfway through, like, that's when we should have done this. I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's like, yes, yes, we should have. Too late now. But here's the most, my big takeaway from the eclipse is it's almost at totality. It's like 65, 70% of what it's going to be. And all of a sudden, we just start getting eaten alive by mosquitoes.
Right.
And then it was like one of my normal comedy shows.
Crickets.
Crickets. The ear-piercing sound of crickets. And I looked to management, and I'm like, do you hear that? And then once I pointed it out, it was like ear-piercing. Because the wild kingdom thought it was dusk. They thought it was 6:30.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
But I did. I was like, why are we getting eaten alive? Because mosquitoes don't come out at like 2 o'clock on a really sunny day.
Right.
You know, like this. But then when the crickets really were full effect, it was. It was like, that was something that, of course that was going to happen. Once it started happening, you're like, right, that makes sense. But, and then you start thinking about how fucked up the animal kingdom is. It's like.
Yeah, right. Kingdom. Yeesh. Some kingdom. I say. Why am I so bitter against animals?
I don't know.
The order of things.
I don't know.
Fuck the animals. no, I like animals. A lot of them are delicious. So
you.
You're not a very good person. We had this weird sepia tone at, like, you know, it peak. You know, it looked like a 1920s, you know, photograph. You know, I was ready to do the jitterbug at some point.
And then, you know, and of course, because I have such a morbid brain sometimes, I started to think about how people must have dealt with eclipse. Like,
oh God.
Yeah, right, exactly.
In the olden day, like in ancient times?
We've upset Ra somehow. He's taking the sun. Somebody virgin.
You make it sound like that stuff doesn't happen today.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on. How many conspiracy theories were surrounding the eclipse? And, you know, how many people, like maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene, took earthquakes in New York and in New Jersey and the eclipse to say, these are reminders that things are not in natural state, and to be, you know, maybe be more devout and maybe pay attention to God and all that shit.
Yeah, no. The adulteress with six toes should talk about.
How many gays were blamed because of the eclipse and the earthquake?
See, I thought it was somehow tied to the Jewish space laser.
Yeah, you know what? I would think this Jewish space laser would shoot down the eclipse.
You thought, like, so, right?
Right. I mean, you just kind of do away with it, you know? Like, why have a laser built by Jewish people
if you're not going to use it?
An unused Jewish space laser is a useless Jewish space laser.
Amen.
Now you say that, Tate Time.
Amen. You know, which is a Christian thing, for an, which is a weird thing.
Right.
And coming out of an atheist just makes it, you know, we've gone to plaid. Speaking of good news, O.J. Simpson's dead.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Or as some people have put on Twitter, cancer has denied being the killer and vows to seek the real killer.
Cancer wrote a book, If I Killed Him.
Yeah. It was weird. I was watching a little side thing. I was watching a clip from The View, and because my wife watches it on record. And,
sure. It's Joe, it's okay.
I love The View.
It's okay.
Anyway, I love Joy. I love Sarah. I love Anna. Elisa, not so much, or whatever her name is, the Republican one. No, but one of them took to say, I guess she had like a personal thing with prostate cancer, like maybe somebody in her family, because at the end of the OJ thing, they said, I just want to take a moment to, I know this is a weird way to do this, but I do want to bring to light that he died of prostate cancer and everybody should get their prostates examined. I'm like, you know what? I think prostate cancer got the rare W in this. You know, like, this is prostate cancer's day. You know, let's not rain on PC's parade, you know?
You know, and of course, the internet remains undefeated. My two favorite memes is a picture of him. This one hurts.
Yes.
And then the other one, somebody photoshopped the white Bronco into a hearse.
I saw somebody's like real license plate for their white Ford Bronco that said not OJ. Like, that was their vanity plate. Anyway, two people were murdered brutally 30 years ago, but we have to find the laughs. Although I did see that the executor of OJ's estate apparently put out a statement that they're going to do everything within their power to make sure that the Goldmans and like the girlfriend or wife of Ron Goldman, the girlfriend of Ron Goldman, like, or whatever. Oh no, sister of Ron Goldman, don't get any money from his estate.
Yeah.
Like, what a pile of shit.
Yeah.
Like, what a pile of shit. Cancer. I hope the piece prostate cancer jumped from OJ's body and like leaped into executor's body. Yeah. No, this executor's body. Yeah.
Well, it's probably one of his two children he had with Nicole, who he killed their mom. Anyways, enough of him.
We don't know that. You don't know. We don't know. But yeah, you know. But you know what? Who also did get a resurgence on the internet? One Norm MacDonald.
O.J. Simpson's new fitness video was released this week, and hitting the shelves next week, Simpson's newest video, Dorf on Stocking. According to retailers, the most popular Halloween mask this year is O.J. Simpson. And the most popular Halloween greeting is, I'll kill you and that guy who's bringing over your glasses, or treat. And finally, in honor of the 50th anniversary of their first publication, Random House will be releasing special commemorative issues of many Dr. Seuss classics. The first to hit the bookshelves will be Green Eggs and Ham and O.J. is Guilty. Judge Ito was interviewed this week by a local TV station in Los Angeles. Asked by the interviewer if it was appropriate for a supposedly impartial judge to be on TV with his case still pending, Ito said, maybe not, but how appropriate is it to kill your ex-wife? It was revealed this week that defense lawyer Johnny Cochran once abused his first wife. In his defense, Cochran said, hey, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know. And in court this week, Cato Kalin testified that O.J. Simpson did not appear angry before or after the period of his wife's murder. But Kalin admitted he could have been a touch edgy while he was actually murdering her.
Oh, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. You know, you think he was waiting at the pearly gates for O.J. to come by?
I don't know. You know what's funny? Somebody said that somebody wrote a piece on GQ about like Norm MacDonald and like his OJ jokes and all that stuff, and basically like how Norm, like, once the OJ news ended, like, he kind of stopped with the OJ stuff. Like, it didn't make it his identity, you know. He focused on his stand-up and all that stuff, and he said something online where after OJ died, he said, you know what, I bet you anything Norm would have zagged and like mourned the loss of a married man, like a retired family man or something like that. You know, like he would have taken the death more solemnly rather than more reveling.
Well, it's funny because as we talked when he did The Celebrity Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, his guest in the studio was one Cato Kaelin, which is right. Just...
He's a good man. He's a good man.
And it's funny, I don't know, Joe and I were on the app Cameo one day just looking things up. You can, and maybe his price has gone up, but you could get a Cameo.
Oh, it definitely shot up since the OJ death, I'm sure has gone up. I mean, Everybody's, you know, is Marsha Clark on there as well? Or Christopher Darden, Lance Ito, all the celebrities. Oh my God, yeah.
And speaking
of we wouldn't have had the Kardashians without OJ.
That alone, I'm glad he's dead. You know, moving on, we're not going to talk about it unless you want to, that I don't think we do, but the first criminal trial starts this week. And my one takeaway is, you know, you can wake me when that guy's wearing a jumpsuit that matches his skin tone. So you and I both just assume that, yeah, nothing's going to happen.
Yep. You got to go through the motions, though. Justice has to kind of at least fake it. I don't know. Right.
Even proven guilty, we know nothing's going to happen. We just know it. But it's depressing. But, you know, it will be fun to see the truth meltdowns, you know, and the spaghetti scenes. No, it won't. It won't. So sport. The only thing that I got in sport right now is our good friend of the podcast, already mentioned once. As we are recording, Dave LaPointe from Complaints and Observation, for the first time, got to see his beloved West Ham in the Premier League play today at London Stadium. Yeah. He's been over to London before, but it's never timed out with, you know, getting to go to see a game. Unfortunately, they lost 2-0. It's the first time in like 50 years that they've lost both the games to Fulton in a season.
Thanks, Dave.
They lost their game, you know, and I hope it didn't kind of diminish, you know, the experience of being a fan as long as he has, you know, but also, you know, he has equated it before, you know, he's a Boston sports fan. So he's like your age. So he had a good 20-year run of misery and utter disappointment.
And embarrassment. Let's not forget embarrassment.
Before the amazing run that they had. So he's well suited to cheer for a team that he knows if they get close, they will find a way to not just fuck it up, but fuck it up in the most comically absurd, you can't get mad because this actually happened kind of way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can hear the Yakety Sax playing when, you know.
But
Yakety Sax is the Benny Hill song.
And everybody who has that in their head for the next 3 hours, you're welcome. So I do. I hope he had a great time. But unless you have anything in sport, you got anything gaming-wise or TV-wise to chat?
Gaming-wise, not so much. I'm just sort of playing some retro stuff. Nobody cares. And nobody cares about the modern stuff either. So no gaming.
What is the retro stuff? Something from the library?
You know what I've been playing more so? It's funny. I have all this like physical stuff, like all these actual consoles that I've – thank you for helping me move that 150-pound television up three flights of stairs.
But at least it has two weird turns going up the steps.
Yes, right. The sharpest of turns. Like 135-degree angles. It's just kind of like, what? Who designed this? MC Escher? Anywho. But at least it's not being used. I'm actually playing the retro stuff on the emulators on my Steam Deck because they have they're tied to the internet that has this little app or this little thing called Retro Achievements. Basically, like, you know, when you go into like Xbox or PlayStation and you get trophies and stuff for hitting milestones in games. they do,
do
that.
Do I?
They have that for retro games on emulators as well. Like, there's a community who puts these things together. So I'm like, it gives you, like, a nerd like me, like, an extra kind of replayability of going back into the old library and trying to hit some of the, you know, it's a good time waster. I'm withering away my life in front of these goddamn games, but I can't stop playing because I'm not going to write comedy. I'm not doing that. I'm certainly not watching anything on television that's worthwhile. I don't know. We did just re-sign up for Disney Plus. I haven't really watched anything.
What's on that? Oh, well, and by the time we got back to Joe's last night, we didn't have, actually, we laughed ourselves out a little bit, Tony and Dave Redigan brought their A game, but we were going to watch the Steve Martin documentary, but it was one of those things like, I got an hour drive home and we're talking, we recorded a podcast at we couldn't, but
yeah, we needed more digestible stuff. So what I did, within the past couple of weeks, I found some more obscure fans of Carnival Personnel podcast and my tastes in old Boston media. We'll know the TV show Chronicle on Channel 5 or WCVB Boston. And also like some ancillary productions by the same TV station from the 80s. Like in the 80s and the 70s, they were like actually churning out like a bunch of like newer original stuff. One of which I'd never heard of. It was a pilot for a show called It Happened Right Here. It was in 1982, produced in Boston. It was kind of like That's Incredible. Remember That's Incredible with John Davidson and Kathy Lee Crosby or something? Or no, she was on Real. Oh, I don't know. One of those things. But everybody knows That's Incredible that listens to this podcast, at least. They tried to do that in Boston. It was a kind of a dud. But the saving grace was, one, it was co-hosted by a woman named Janet Longhart, which I'm not familiar with. But also one Gene Rayburn of Match Game fame. This is 82. We looked it up. He was 75 at the time, something like that. Like he was born in 1917.
He looked great for his age.
Yes, he did look great for his age. He's a pro. The show itself was like half an hour. We didn't really watch a lot of the show because the same website I got this footage from for the pilot actually had studio tape for the in-between stuff, like the behind the scenes, like getting shots of the audience reaction, multiple takes of certain on-camera things for the hosts, them, you know, like bantering with the crew and complaining about not flipping the cue cards fast enough, that sort of thing. Like all of that was preserved, and that was more fascinating.
That was,
like Jacques said, like when he watches his new favorite show, Doctor Who, he's going back into those reruns. You're flipping through them. Like you're an ADD person. You flip through, fast forward 15 seconds. Yeah. I kind of get what's going on here. I don't need to get all the details. But for something like this, where we're watching a behind the scenes thing.
Mesmerized.
It's memorable because you can't fast forward. If you do, you might miss like some little nugget or some little complaint or jab or quip, because it's.
Or the flubbing the line three times.
Yes. Or the woman when Janet Longhart, I think that's her name, she gives this whole spiel about like, if it's weird or unusual, you'll find it happened right here. And she does the whole plug and it's for this WCVB Channel 5. And she goes, you'll find her right here March 12th at 8:30 p.m. on Channel 6, a 5. And like... blows it, everybody cracks up, it's just kind of like, oh, now you got to do this whole goddamn spiel again because you missed the last word.
You don't remember the channel you're on.
Yes, that's a big flaw. But stupid stuff like that, I love
it. Was great. It was, but just the footage of some stage director having the studio audience do takes of applause with nobody out on the stage. Like there's nothing, not applauding anything. You're like, okay, we need cutaways and everybody on 3, 2 and just start.
Or just a clean bed, like a clean audio bed of studio applause, like that they could underlie under on some other B-roll or something. But it was kind of, and by the way, the acts were like, a strong man from Rhode Island will take cement blocks to his chest while people hammer away at him.
While
he's lying on a bed of nails. Then there was also a little girl who was reading Shakespeare at age 2 and writing her own novel at age 4. By the way, that little girl from Worcester who they profiled was actress Alicia Witt. She was first cast in Dune, 1984, and then went on to have a successful career since then. And then the other person was like a miracle kind of, they couldn't speak, and this doctor at Mass Eye and Ear gave them the ability to speak. But we didn't watch that. And also,
A Seal that Talks.
Which I thought sounded like Jabba the Hutt meets Dom DeLuise. Yeah. You know, it was, I don't know, it was funny. But whatever, it was hokey and it didn't land. It was only the one-off show. But you know what? That review or recap of the show probably went longer than
the show lasted.
It should have had.
What are you watching? I've been watching, as Joe knows, he has helped me see the error in my ways. And I just finished season 3 of David Tennant's run. Well,
of the new reboot.
The new reboot. And that was from 2005 to 2000. And it was great. You know, I've loved it. It was funny because this is Joe's management, like one of her big passion things. And it was fun just kind of, you know, getting into the minutia of what I've witnessed the first 3 seasons, the hokiness of certain aspects, the oh my God, I saw this thing, and it flooded memories came back from.
Right. The references to the old 70s series. Yeah,
you know, which were on PBS back here, and you know, when you had 3.5 channels and not a lot on at 11:30 at night, it's like, okay, well, I'll watch this, you know.
Right, exactly. I could watch bowling, or I could watch, you know, the Catholic sermon or a Doctor Who rerun. All right.
I go with the Doctor Who. So that's been fun, you know, and I do. I really like David Tennant. So it is. That's and Ghost, when management is around. My oldest is 17. We watched the season finale of Invincible, which is great.
It's the animated show on Amazon.
Yep.
About a superhero family.
Yep. Father and son. And, you know, and it was good. There were, you know, the final episode didn't answer anything because it was meant to, you know, be a two-parter with episode 1, season 3, hopefully answering the lingering questions here. But it was one of those, the guy got thrown by a bad guy through different realities and you didn't see Batman, but you saw him sitting next to Batman's cape next to a gargoyle. It's like, so you dress as a bat and your name, that's lazy, isn't it? You know, and then he got thrown into another reality and there was a Spider-Man kind of guy. So it's fun. It's dark. I mean, it's not a kid cartoon. It's right. Definitely not.
I also heard good things about X-Men 97 on Disney.
Yeah. Has that started? I know they were going.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, people are really hyped about it online.
And so that's it. And now on to a parenting tip. What do you have? You know, proud father of this, you know, thespian killing it in 12 angry people.
Well, we don't know that for sure yet. Oh, thespian. Thespian. yes. Parenting tip. Well, I would say if you're going to teach your the child to drive, right? Regardless of how behind they are in the timeline of when they should have gotten their license. And if you're going to teach them to drive, take them into an area that you're familiar with. You know, like if you happen to be familiar with the, like, a, you know, kind of a tucked away area, it doesn't necessarily, you know, when you're ready to move past the parking lot phase and into actual like traffic, you know, or side roads, you know, take them to a familiar place, like I did. I took my younger son, who was learning to drive, on a little driving lesson in my old Stomping Grounds near in the old Formal Edition era Stomping Grounds. Formal Edition being the cable access show that Jacques and I met on back in 94 when I was a teenager. He was in his 20s. Questions were asked, none were answered.
Hey, at least I was drunk.
Yes, very. And you got me to drink. That was also very helpful. But yeah, we drove around in basically my friend's old neighborhood. Jim, our friend of our podcast.
Jim's on the podcast.
Ooh, Jim.
Jim's sitting right here.
Ooh.
Carnival personnel won't be the same.
Jim is joining the podcast.
Joining the podcast.
Who voted for Trump?
Jim, he's joining the podcast.
Though he should be ashamed,
cause this podcast is lame.
Jim is his name.
Jim.
And also Steve, a friend of ours. They lived like, you know, pretty close to each other back then. And we drove around their old neighborhood because back roads, I'm familiar, you know, like this, not a lot of traffic there. It made it helpful for when my son pulled into the parking spot in the condo complex, that when he hit the gas instead of the brake and jumped the curb, you know, there was enough of a distance between the curb and the building that we didn't go into the building. Oh, you know, these fun times. I should learn how to use the emergency brake. I really should have like one hand on the emergency brake in those situations. But, you know, lessons learned by all. You know, he learned not to do that. And I learned to piss before I go on a driving lesson. That's my parenting tip. Be familiar with the area you're teaching your child to drive. Jacques, you must have at least, what, 4 or 5. So, you know, take about 20 minutes to go.
No, I'm doing such a great job. So where our little guy has essentially been banned from electronics a while ago, you know, but he Rain Man's in the car always asking if he can have my phone, and it's a relentless, annoying thing. But him and his brother had started watching a manga a show called Jujutsu Kaisen. He had to go to the library the month that he wasn't in school, like a couple times a week to meet up with a tutor, was amazed that they had all the books, like the library, and that, you know, he had gone to Newbery Comics and bought one of the books with his brother, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get all of these. And that's $17 a piece. No, you are not. no, you're not. And then, you know, I called my sister, who's a librarian, and, you know, her librarian's in a consortium of 28 others. So 2 days later, she had almost the entire series curated for him, which he tore through. He went from...
You're not supposed to tear them. Oh, you mean he read fast.
Okay, never reading to, I would take pictures every time I would turn around. We're waiting in line at the bank, and there he is sitting reading his book, or in the line at wherever. He was ferocious reading. And then he started to like read them online on like the Alexa, the one thing he's able to have. But that doesn't help in the car. So he finished the two series he was on. I'm like, well, let's start another series. He's like, no, I'm going to, if I read another series, I'll just read it online. Well, that doesn't help me in the car because he's in the car with me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the library the other day and just got a couple books, different manga books, but in the same genre. And I just had him in the back seat. And when he got in the car, he's like, I'm not reading these. I said, no, you're not reading them. Those are mine. Those looked interesting. I got a couple Demon Slayers. Mm-hmm. Which is what Biff has been watching. I guess there's like 1,000 episodes.
Well, there's also One Piece, yeah. But Demon Slayer is probably in the same
universe, right? And so I did. And they didn't have like the first couple books of one series. They had like 2 through 5, and they're like, "Well, we can hold these, and the other books in our system, we can have it delivered. You can pick these up in a few days. I'm great." But in the meantime, I just put those in the back, and he was like, I'm not reading another series. I'm not starting with this. I thought, no, those are for me. They looked interesting. Oh, fine. Like the next day we're driving and he was being quiet. I look in the mirror and yeah, just started reading them. And it's like, it might not be his favorite, but he is back onto another series. You know,
I'm sorry.
No,
that's great.
100%. So that's my parenting tip. You know, it's like, and it's the oldest thing in the book, you know, and it's funny because, you know, he does have, you know, ODD that got talked about last night at the crowd. Wasn't that used to be called just being a prick?
ODD, of course, being
obstinance, defiance disorder.
Yeah.
And he can't help it. If you say left, he's going to say right. So I'll see something on Instagram, a funny football clip, a funny story, a great play. And I know he's going to want to see it. But his first reaction, which always annoys me, is like, yeah, I don't fucking care. And so now I'd be like to his mother, I'd be like, hey, and I'll mirror my phone to the screen. I'm like, oh, this is a really funny thing. This football guy, you know, played in the 80s and he had this beef with this guy. And then they were on this talk show together. And I'll show her that, which instantly makes him dial all in to watch. But if I say, hey, I'm going to put this on the screen for you to watch.
Right.
No, he wants to watch it. But there's that part of him that has to tell me he doesn't fucking care. I'm stupid. I have the worst memes. I should kill myself.
Yeah.
I'm not paraphrasing.
Actively promotes, actively promotes self-harm. Yeah. But you, of course, you have to be like Tom Sawyer, you know?
Right.
Yeah. You're like, you know, you don't want to paint this fence. It's boring, you know? Yeah. So I get it. I get it. You know, these kids today, with their ODDs, you know, back in the 90s, it was OPP. We had problems.
You know me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Other people's privates or penises or pussies or whatever the hell it was. We couldn't say the word back then because of Tipper Gore. Thank you very much. You know, couldn't, you know, express our freedom of speech on the radio, which we talk about in the, you know, in a few, what, months? When does that podcast drop? When we do the sideshow with the author of Live from the Underground, Catherine. We'll find out. You know what? Just keep your ears peeled. Yes, you can peel your ears, and it works. It helps you listen better. I peel mine twice a day. I use a salve to help heal after I peel. It's called a peel heal. And, you know, I'm not just babbling to cover for my stupid brain. Anyways, that's the podcast. Jacques, thank you for you know, joining me on a wonderful trek to right down the street so we could see how the other side of the underbelly of Arlington lives. That's right, Italians. I'm calling you out as the underbelly. Oh no, there's a gentleman at my door. I'll be right back. I have to go see who this is. Oh, hello, sir. How are you? Oh my God. No, please. No, please. No, not my family. No, please. Anything but. I can't read the sign. Oh, there it is. Alana Foden will be next week's sideshow. Thank you. Unprompted. That just came out of nowhere. Alana Foden will be next week's sideshow. She's a great comedian. She also does like a sex toy business type thing. You'll learn more. You'll learn more. I certainly did, which I then forgot. But then I relearned because I remembered, you know, that's what I need to do. Like sometimes I'll say something completely asinine, stupid. I'll put it on the internet. I'll forget about it. I'll be like, that didn't happen. And then I'll, you know, listen to myself because I'm vain when the podcast drops and I'll hear myself say fucking stupid stuff. Like, did I say the C word 8 times in one podcast? Maybe. Was it under the guise of pretending to be Bill Burr? Who's to say, you know, is it because your friend, so-called friend, ambushes you by saying you're going to be reading something out of a magazine in the voice of Bill Burr? Maybe that's the case. Thankfully, the Lorne Michaels thing from earlier, that was completely unprompted. It came up organically. I figured everybody has a Lorne Michaels impersonation who's successful. So since I'm going to do it the other way around, I'm going to start with a Lorne Michaels impersonation and then, you know, try to cultivate success from that. I'm putting the system on trial is what I'm saying. Joe, you're running a little long You won the battle, but you lost the war. Yeah, that was my Lorne Michaels or my Jimmy Stewart. Who knows? It could have been either one. You're looking at this podcast all wrong. You're thinking the ending of the podcast is like here, like I'm going to say it, you know, I'm going to end the podcast. No, the ending of the podcast is in Jock's house. It's in Beth's house. You what are you going to, you're going to take their podcast from them? If Ted, you were there, right? You were listening since day one. We can get through this podcast together. We just got to stick together, you know? Now, Smartless isn't selling. Smartless is buying. And why? Because we're panicking and they're not. See, I'm panicking because I flubbed the line. But we can get through this. How much will it take to get you through the end of the podcast? You want me to say, don't forget? Is that what you want? Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. It's fine. No. You sit around here and you spin your little web and you think the whole podcast revolves around you. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Lambert. In the vast configurations of things, you're nothing but a scurvy little spider. And that goes for you too, Biff. It goes for you too, Joe. It goes for you too, Dan Cray, whose song we're probably going to hear again. Which one is it? Are you going to play Tucker? Yeah, you're gonna play Other Breaker or Struggly. Yeah, you like Struggly. Struggly's a short song. It's short and sweet. Yeah, like this Campbell's Chicken Soup. That's right. I used to do Campbell's Chicken Soup commercials. You forgot, didn't you? Well, I didn't, Mr. Potter. Anyway, my father didn't think doing a Carnival Personnel ending was such a bad thing. He was a greater man than you'll ever be. Anyways, yeah. Well, I've gone on too long here. Yeah, this is your podcast. You do what you want. I'll just tell you one thing. Don't forget. Get me out of this thing. I can't get out of the voice. Help. Please. Kill me. That's it. You kill me. That's the ending. You kill me. You don't. No, don't play the song again. Listen to my pleas for help. Do what you want. Don't forget. Now play the song.